I'm John Batchelor. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show, is my co-pilot for Hotel Mars Episode N, and we're very pleased to welcome Diane Termshak, who teaches at Carnegie Mellon as well as the University of Pittsburgh. Most importantly, she's a science fiction author in Analog Magazine, which I have a happy subscription to and no longer get to read. But it's a pleasure to speak to you, Diane. A very good evening to you. David, a very good evening to you. David, Mars City Design, we're about to discuss with Diane. This is the first time I've been introduced to this. What does it do? What does it do in the community, David? How does this serve?
I think it shows the possibilities and the creativity of how one might start designing habitats and locations for Mars. And it's very inspiring and very exciting.
Diane, a very good evening to you. There are a list of winners in this contest or competition each year. And the list we're going to go through as best we can anecdotally now. What is your thinking about what this achieves here, all of us stuck on Earth trying to argue for a booster big enough to get to Mars? How does this serve for the young people? Good evening to you, Diane.
Hi, welcome. I'm glad to be here. I think that all astronomy is just fascinating to the young people. And this trip to Mars that the humanity is going to take is a big endeavor. It's going to require us to have a lot of people on board thinking the same way. And Mars City Design is a visionary project to do that. It's a creative project with a lot of artists involved, 3D graphics designers, architects, and people beyond the standard scientific model. What they do is give us a vision to shoot for. You know, we know we're going to go to Mars someday. Humanity is going to go to Mars someday. Is it going to be now, this century? Possibly. But artists have always opened up frontiers, even the Wild West. It made people want to go to California when they saw how beautiful it was, and it paved the way for a lot of people so they wouldn't have to go into a strange area. They could see it. And the architect, that's what fascinated me. As an astronomer, I always thought we were just going to cap some old lava tube somewhere and there you go, you got your base. But then the architects got involved, and what they want to do is make a habitat where humans can thrive, not just survive. So they want something beautiful that appeals to our aesthetic vision and something that makes us want to go and live there. I'm all for getting more creative people involved in this process.
David?
Diane, are there parameters or rules for the contest? For example, do the visionary designs have to obey some laws of physics, or can they just run wild with their imagination and show us really beautiful, inspiring possibilities?
So that's probably a good question for the judges. Judges for this contest, Rob Manning, who's the chief engineer for U.S. Mars missions at NASA JPL, Dr. Pierre-Philippe Mathieu, Earth observation data scientists at ESA, the European Space Agency, and Steve Madge, the visionary vice president at Dassault Systems. These three will be the judges of that, but what I've been told is that we're really looking for things that are possible. And from my perspective, you know, I've got all kinds of data in my entry. We have things on Mars that are designed, but that also could be used on Earth, somehow implemented to fix or change something on Earth. For instance, one of the designs last year, it was called the Dandelion design. It's a round top with a long plunging bottom that just falls into the soil and sticks. And the thermal gradient from the long tube that goes down into underground can generate energy. That design could also be used in war zones or here on the planet in disaster areas. And so that sort of we're designing this for Mars, but in doing so, some of that could turn right around and be useful here on Earth.
I want to go
useful and very scientific.
I want to go to one of the winners or one of the favorite design 2016 infrastructure. It's called the New Cambridge MIT. And it looks like somebody's laid out a base that combines how to power it. That would be the solar panels. And there is attention to a biosphere, what is called a green park. And I'm presuming that they're creating a city that's going to be partly underground. All of this looks like the kind of science fiction that I read when I was 14 years old. It's inspiring. At the same time, I ask myself, my goodness, are we ready to build this? Your opinion, Diane, when they lay out materials and costs and scale and manufacturing, because we'd have to manufacture all this, I guess, in 3D design, I don't know how. Is that helpful? Because we don't, as my understanding right now, we don't have the lift to get even one rocket with humans on Mars, let alone this.
Oh, things are definitely going to have to be made out of materials that are on Mars right now.
Right.
The regolith, the soil on Mars, it's going to be used for Marscrete, which is like concrete, but using the materials that are on Mars. We're going to use materials that are heated up, perhaps by lasers, and sintered so that they can be 3D printed. Here at CMU, last year, we had two Martian architecture classes. CMU has some wonderful classes. This fall, we had an alien linguistics class. CMU has really unusual things, but in Christine Ciardullo's Martian architecture classes, they actually did tests on soil and building and design and built a scale model of one of their habitats. She had won the NASA contest a year and a half ago for her Mars Ice House. She was on the team of people that put together a Mars Ice House, which is 3D printing water with robots that climb up the wall as they're squirting the water out the nozzle just at the right speed so it freezes into a double structure. So it helps protect from cosmic radiation. And it's beautiful and lets light in. So a lot of the designs that I've seen have to be underground, like you said.
Right.
Because the cosmic radiation, we haven't really figured out a great way to take care of that. The regolith is a great way to take care of it. You can put your city underground and cover it with Mars dirt.
Right. The subterranean, or sub-Martian, I guess, is one solution. I'm looking at these designs. They're very attractive. And, David, that's the key. We've got to manufacture it with Martian resources. You can't take Earth's resources to Mars. There's no imaginable way we can put that lift together in the next 20, 30 years.
No, and 3D printing with Institute, 3D printing with Institute resources on Mars will be a big way of the future.
Go ahead, Diana. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say caching is a thing. You can send stuff now. We don't have any plans in the next year or two to be on Mars, but we can start sending up rockets full of equipment, rockets full of materials, rockets full of food, and just cache them, just stockpile them so that when we are ready to start building, we'll have a whole pile of materials.
We're speaking to Diane Turncheck. She's at Carnegie Mellon as well. She teaches at the University of Pittsburgh, and she's a science fiction author. But this competition, it's called Mars City Design, and I'm looking at the winners, Best Design, Human Environment, for example, from 2016. There's a contest underway here in 2017, and everyone is welcome. It seems to attract a lot of young people from universities. When we come back, I want to talk about a magical term that's part of the design from 2016. It's called terraforming. We all know it, of course. It's the big twist in Aliens and other things, a terraforming factory and something's gone wrong. But is terraforming credible on Mars? Can we terraform here and take it to Mars? I'm John Batchelor with David Livingston. David Livingston. This is Hotel Mars, and we're speaking to Diane Turncheck, who's an astronomer, positivist. She's at the Carnegie Mellon, the University of Pittsburgh, a science fiction author. But we're talking about Mars City Design, the winners from 2016 and the contest underway for 2017. There are judges. You submit. What I'm looking at is very well-presented artwork. And, Diane, I want to go to the Terraform winner, Best Design 2016 for Human Environment. Your understanding of terraforming, what does it mean? Terraforming platform, what does it mean to do? Does it mean to create the Sierra Madre on Mars, or are we going to be happy with anything green that grows?
When you talk about terraforming, you're really talking about changing a large part of the environment.
Right.
The picture for the terraforming competition winner has oceans and green and clouds and full atmosphere. I think we would have to start much more small scale than that. A huge planetary terraforming will take like 10,000 years, so it's not something you can plan in a 4 or 8 year presidential
yeah,
run.
But we've got the time, Diane. We do have the time. I mean, sending a probe to Proxima Centauri B. We've got the time. 70 years, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you want 10,000 years? You got it. So can we do this?
We probably will do this at some point. There are a lot of cautionary things. We don't know, for instance, whether or not there's life on Mars.
Right.
We know that there is water ice on Mars. We know that it used to be warmer. We know that there are some strange anomalous methane clouds that appear that really should have disappeared with the UV radiation that comes through the atmosphere. There's some hints that there might be microbial life there. So if we just start plunking down comets on the surface or creating chain reactions, you take the chance that you're bringing something there when there's already life there. So first things first, we have to figure out whether or not Mars has life before we try to remake it in our image.
David?
Do we have the technology? Are we soon, do you think, going to be able to answer that question if there is life on Mars of some sort?
Oh, certainly. But I'd say within the decade.
Yeah, the European probe is committing a lot on the idea that this is the next rover. I believe it launches in 2020. David, where can people see these designs? Do they build them in real life or scale models, David?
Well, the website is MarsCityDesign.com, but I think I read, Diane, that you're actually 3D printing the models and they're going to be on display in Mojave. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, in the Mojave Desert in eastern California, there are going to be some buildings going up. So the first place, second place, third place winner gets some level of actual structures being built in the desert. Vera Mulgeni, the CEO and founder of Mars City Design, she started this with a Kickstarter last year. Raised $30,000 for a workshop and brought, I know there were 11 projects from CMU students that went to the competition, and one went right up through to the top three. And those projects are still in the, they're still being worked on. Our project that we're turning in, I have a small team. Matt Finley was the president of the astronomy club at CMU when he was here and a creative writing major. Dean Mugianis is a videographer and understands the architecture software very well. And the three of us are designing something for this next competition. But we can't really talk about it yet. We have to wait until it goes to the judges in April if we've been picked in one of the top spots, then they will help us work on it further. And then in May in L.A., there will be a big celebration and all the top competition prizes will be given out.
The Mars City Design.
And then
the website you want people to go to when your design is submitted? Can we see all the submissions, Diane, or just the winners?
Last year, we're seeing how many? 15? So those all won some level of prize.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were the one for health or something specifically.
Right.
For
is there a place to see all the submissions so that we can see all the possibilities?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not right now. Not until they get further along. You can see all the submissions for the NASA competition that was for a single Habitat 1000 square feet or less. You can see all of them, and some of them are just amazing. So if you searched for Mars Ice House and then looked at those different designs.
David, have you ever seen them in the Mojave Desert? Have you been there, David?
No, I've not, but when will they be in the Mojave Desert? When could people see them, and where do you go? Do you know where you actually would physically go?
Diane?
All that will be released soon. I've seen all the buildings that are set up to start construction, but I haven't seen any construction yet. And I'm not exactly sure where in the Mojave Desert it is.
So that will be on the MarsCityDesign.com website. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at 2016 winners. There's 2017 is being submitted. How old is this, Diane? It's the first time I've come across it. Is it 5 years old, 3 years old? You said it was a Kickstarter.
Yeah, last year was the first year.
Oh, I see. So I'm looking. This is the start.
That's
yeah.
Why I don't know. Yeah.
That's why I've never seen it. David, you didn't tell me it was brand new.
I didn't know either. I thought it was a couple of years old, but this was all new to me when Diane was introduced to me by Dr. Landon.
All right, we've made everybody crazy now, assuming that they know what we know. Here's the website. It's MarsCityDesign, all one.com. And then there are examples throughout it of the presentation, such as the Vertical Farm by Galactic Farms, Best Mars City Design 2016 Agriculture. We talked about terraforming. There's a design for Local Positioning System, Best Design 2016 Innovation. They'll need an LPS, a GPS. They'll need a local positioning system on Mars. We want to thank Diane Turncheck and wish her well with her team in the submission for 2017 Mars City Design. Diane teaches at Carnegie Mellon and the University of Pittsburgh. She's an author and analog, and I'll be certain to look up immediately, Diane. I thank you very much. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars, episode N.